Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Luke Murray. It is a Monday morning when we are recording it, the 14th of December. Luke, where the hell has December gone, mate? I've not bought all my presents.
Still halfway to go. You better explain the start of that show to people listening because they won't know the full context of how Luke, ridiculous I was being.
Luke said, is my shirt too squeaky? And he started like jumping up and down on it to make it squeak. And I said, it sounds like you're having sex. And Luke said, that's not how I have sex. And then he jumped on his chair like that, lots and lots. And then I just started the show because that is the level of professionalism I know, right? He also, for some reason, our little recording system has got this piece of music installed in it.
Oh, yeah, baby. I can fuck with this big time.
It's a new theme tune. Luke compete.
I just love it. I think we should play this under the whole show.
I mean, like the bass line looks and sounds, feels like it belongs in a completely different song.
I'll tell you what it is. It's a vibe.
It's a vibe.
It sounds a bit like...
It's a bop, is it?
Yeah, it's a bop. It sounds a bit like a like 80s police stakeout before shit starts to go south.
No, I think it's incidental music in a sex ed BBC Two 10 a.m. kind of job.
It's too groovy. It's too groovy.
Yeah, it's just like now on BBC Two, sex and your child. Some people say that the vagina is a mysterious item.
Item.
Entity.
You have two items in your basket.
Please return your vagina to your the packing area, please.
If you literally, these two items need to go to the checkout post haste. Anyway, Peter, I want to start with season's greetings. I know it's not quite Christmas yet, and we'll do another few shows. Maybe we'll do a couple in advance on Monday next week ahead of Christmas. But I do want to start with some season's greetings because I received, as you well know, a Christmas present from you over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
People listening who don't know you as well as I do will think, oh, no, what kind of prank thing did Pete send Luke for Christmas?
Tartan paint, a long stand.
Yeah, exactly, a sky hook. but I received a polystyrene box, opened it up, thought it might be like the end scene in the film Seven.
Is that why we delivered in a little polystyrene box?
Yeah, we're like covered in ice.
Oh, wow.
And the good thing,
that's cool.
The good thing is that the ice was packaged in, so basically like ice packs. So I've got them in the freezer. I can use them again.
Yeah, right? To cool down. If you've had a Christmas argument, you can cool yourself down afterwards.
Well, I've got too much fire in my belly. I can get my head in the freezer and we're
away. Get your head in the freezer. There you go.
So that was a bonus as well. But what I was actually delivered was a delicious and beautiful cut of A5 Wagyu beef.
Yeah.
Wow.
A delicious... I mean, I don't know how good it will be because obviously that cow lives in Japan or lived in Japan. Its bones are now resident in Japan.
Yeah.
Glue, probably. And, yeah, no, I don't know how good that'll be.
For like gelatin, don't they? And sweets.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's probably
the horses, mate.
Japanese Percy pigs. Probably the Japanese Percy pigs as we speak. Yeah, so I don't know how good that'll be, but I mean, I suppose if it's been frozen at source and remained frozen for a little while, it may still retain some of its deliciousness.
Well, as regular listeners to the show will know that I'm very particular about how I cook my steak. I've already checked the link that came with the beef to see how best to cook it. It's going to be by far the most, luxurious tense cut of beef I've ever had in my life. So
it looks kind of tense.
No, it looks amazing. I'm definitely going to film it for you. I'll send you me filming it.
Yeah, if I've Wagyu steak is the best steak I've ever eaten in my life, and I've eaten it like two or three times. I think I had it once in Piccadilly at the sort of restaurant in Ogawa, and that was very expensive. But you only got a couple of chunks, so hopefully there'll be a few more chunks than that in that. Yeah. But you don't get much for your money, unfortunately. So I'll apologise for the size, but it is the best beef in the world. Best beef.
You don't need to apologise for sending me a thoughtful and delicious Christmas present and
a thoughtful small amount of beef.
Anyway, this is not a very relatable conversation. So,
no.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to say that as soon as you WhatsApped me saying what's your address, I knew you were sending me a Christmas present because I'm like a detective like that. So,
right, okay, yeah.
I also instantly took to the internet when you asked me for your address, for my address, and sent you a Christmas present as well. Now, you haven't received my Christmas present yet. It's coming later this week.
It's not another scooter, is it?
No, it's just paperwork. No, it's not quite at the luxury end of the market what I've sent you, but I'm hoping you'll appreciate it. So look out for it, and you can tell people about it on Monday because I think it's going to come on Friday. So
lovely,
you can tell people
job
about it next Monday. But look, people who are listening, they don't know whether we're really friends, you and I. We send each other Christmas presents, is all you need to know. Sometimes I
beefy
find
boys.
You...
Come on, beefy boys.
Exactly. Sometimes I find you cripplingly annoying, but you also find me infuriating as well.
Dangerously annoying, yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. Who cares? Let's get on with it. Let's get on with the quiz.
Let's get on with it. Luke, I've got to test you on a few things.
All right.
I achieved something over the weekend that I've never achieved before. Saturday morning, I was up, went to Watford, of all places, to an unlovable little sort of 70s office building. And I successfully completed, 49 out of 50, my friend, my driving theory test.
What is happening here? Why are you doing this? Why have you suddenly just become really interested in motoring over the last 3 months? It's come from nowhere. It's ridiculous.
Because going out on my scooter, I am very fragile. The way I drive that scooter around on a busy road.
I could have told you that.
Oh, Luke, I'm going real fast and I am very, very fragile. I am less fragile. I'm more fragile than a frozen bit of A5 Wagyu steak, my friend.
You're about 8 stone wet through and you've got weak bones. There's no way you should be going over about 15 miles an hour on that. Is it roadworthy now? You want it now.
I'm on it now. I've got my L plates on it. And the thing about me is, I think the whole motorized scooter / motorbike system is kind of flawed, because to put the accelerator on one of the sticks that you handle to control the thing, I just think it gives you false images in your mind about what your motorbike can do. Because I was going around a car park in Waitrose at the weekend on a scooter, and there was a little girl running across the car park.
Oh, Jesus.
Instead of pumping the brakes as normal person would, I accelerated towards her, Luke, and that scared me.
Why are you doing that?
And my brain went, Peter, you need to do something now, but it's very much a 50-50 chance on whether you do it right or very wrong.
So I
accelerated towards this young girl.
Luckily,
she was a lot further away than I really needed to be, so it's all good. But
why are you like this? Second of all, if someone asked me why is Pete Donaldson like this, I would the best, most concise way I can describe it is I've never known anyone like you, as far as you either think about something way too much or you don't think about it at all. You've never once thought about anything in the right, correct amount. Like, it's always too much or no thought given at all. And I think you just need a bit of balance. That's what I think. Well, literally balance for your moped. But aside from that,
It is a particularly heavy bit of work. But I mean, the important thing is I am now able to certainly begin my driving lessons once again. I think I took 6 about 5 years ago, but I passed my theory test now, which I hadn't done before. And I can begin my journey to driving. But some of the questions in the theory test really made me laugh. There was the hazard perception side of things, and the sort of written kind of multiple choice thing, and I aced the multiple choice thing less good on the hazards, to be quite frank, because a lot of like the mock sort of tests that I was trying online were basically like really grainy sort of 90s footage of London. sort of like a car with a camera on it just driving around. And it was really rather kind of discombobulating because you'd be going across like Old Street Roundabout in the 90s and you'd just see people doing some mad shit. Like people just dropping people off in the middle of a fucking roundabout and stuff like that. And you're like, I didn't expect that to happen because nobody should ever do that, et cetera, et cetera. But when it actually got to the test itself, everything was 3D, Luke. Everything had been like made meticulously in a 3D package. And I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting the 3D-ness. I was really excited by the by these 3D graphics, and I spent most of my time sort of cooing at that. So I didn't do quite as well on the hazard perception I think it's out of 50. If it's out of 50, I think I've got about 40 odd. So I still did all right, and I passed, you know, fundamentally, which is good. But
why are you suddenly doing this when you've already got a moped to concentrate on? You can hang out on your moped for the next.
Very much like a karate master, I want to master all disciplines.
Again, thinking about it way too much. That's what it is.
But I'm with someone who does all the driving, and I think it's. I don't think I'm really pulling my weight in that section.
Pete, can I just say, if you and I, I'll do the question in a minute. All right, I'm happy to do it. But can I just say, if you and I were living together and cohabiting as a couple, I would be happy to have you firmly in the passenger seat, and I would not see that as a burden. I would see that as you absolutely playing your part.
Good point. Good point. Well, right, here's your questions. Some of the questions really make me laugh, right? Here's your first question, Luke. Let's see. When did you pass your theory test 20 years ago?
1999, and it was just a multiple choice thing, and it was out of 35, and I think I got like 33.
35? Yeah. Outrageous. I mean, most of the rest of the ones are just like, should you use your car if you're using your mobile phone? Which obviously didn't exist back then.
Honestly, when I did it, it was so easy. It was like, you come to a traffic light, and the light is red. Do you A, go,
accelerate.
B, stop,
accelerate towards
C,
the child.
Yes, C, wind your window down and shout, everyone's a winner, baby. Honestly, it was really easy.
I'd quite like that last one.
I don't think that's technically wrong, that one.
No, exactly. Everyone's a winner, baby. Right, here's your question, Luke. You've been involved in an argument that's made you feel angry. What should you do before starting your journey? Open a window, turn on your radio, have an alcoholic drink, or calm down?
I'll tell you what, I can tell you what I do. All of those things, all of them.
Yeah, all of them.
Is that a trick question?
I mean, technically, you could have a small alcoholic drink, couldn't you? Like, was it a beer you're allowed? What you're allowed? I don't know the limits. Five beers? Probably about five beers, isn't it?
It's not five. I don't know exactly, but I know it's not five.
Right, okay. Yeah. Here's one. At an incident, someone is unconscious and you want to help. What would be the first things to check? A, whether their vehicle is insured, whether they have any allergies. Whether they're comfortable or whether their airway is open. I mean, allergy, I'd like just getting a little buttercup and putting it under their chin.
Sticking their finger in a dandelion.
Do you want a Puritan?
Sticking their finger in a glass of water, watch them piss themselves. This is the thing. I know this is a controversial opinion. This is not obviously medical advice. And this is a leisure show, not an advice show. But what I want to say is, when you get into that situation, I feel to me, I understand the use of basic first aid. I understand how important it is. I get it. I don't want to go up to and including airways. I want to stop before airway. To me, that feels specialist. That feels like professional work. You know, it's like the old famous Danny Baker argument with his wife that he talked about years ago on the radio about how when he moved in with her, he and her agreed that she was the most, she was the best at doing decoration and like interior design. Right. And he would just do all the chores. And they agreed and settled on he would go up to and including emptying the bin, but he wouldn't put the new bin liner in because he said that's decoration. So she should then be doing that. That was the cutoff they agreed, right? This, I feel like the cutoff should be before airways get involved because that seems too important.
Mm. Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, that's bare minimum with first aid, isn't it? Just checking that people are breathing, I suppose.
Nah, recovery position. Whatever the injury is, recovery position.
Recovery
fine.
Position.
You'll be fine in 5 minutes in the recovery position.
Luke, question 28 of 50. What should you do if you become tired when you are driving on a motorway? Pull up on the hard shoulder and change drivers. Leave the motorway at the next exit and rest. Increase your speed and turn up the radio volume. Or close all your windows and set the heating to warm.
Not that one. Although I do
have
know
a glass
someone.
Of warm milk.
I do know someone who does a lot of work travelling up and down the country, where they used to, and they said when they feel a bit tired, they would put the heater on as cold as possible, blast it in their own face. Which
yeah,
to
that
me
would
doesn't,
work,
seem, it? Doesn't seem safe, though. It's not safe.
No, no, it's not. It's not ideal, is it?
Your eyeballs are fucking dried out.
When are you allowed to stop on a motorway? When you wish to pick up hitchhikers was another one that made me laugh.
No, the tired one, Pete. Going back to the tired one, the answer I would choose was get an older adult to read me a story.
No, that's to make you more sleepy. You need to be woken up.
That's the joke. That's the joke.
Oh, right. Sorry, is that the joke? Sorry. Yeah, there you go. And finally for now, what would you do to help injured people at an incident? Keep them warm and comfortable. Keep them on the move by walking them around. Give them a warm drink or give them something to eat. Have a sandwich.
You would have some
car jerky.
This sounds like a great... You must have had a great time doing this. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it was lots of fun. It really was a real giggle.
Oh, by the way, can I just ask, before we go on to whatever we're doing next, have you discovered the running order this week? A lot of people are asking me about
Running order exists, apparently. Luke Peachaw.
Yeah.
Katie's editing this show.
Matt's put a lot of stuff in there.
Nat's put a lot of... It's her birthday today, so happy birthday, Nat.
I thought it was tomorrow, mate. It's tomorrow.
Oh, is it? Right, okay. Yeah. I see.
I thought it's Arbiter tomorrow. We're terrible colleagues. Well, you've probably got something. Do you want to give her a present you got her now? Oh, okay. Shit.
Oh, man. A lot of little stories. Chinese flight attendants told to wear nappies for COVID protection so they don't have to use the toilets.
I'm doing that one in a minute. Don't give it all away.
Sorry, I thought it was anybody. What does the NW stand for then?
That's your colleague's initials. So you know who put it in
so
there.
Natalie is saying that she's putting that in there. Right, I see. Yeah. That makes sense.
Before we move on to that though, Peter, can we please...
Check Twitter account.
Yeah, I was. That's a reminder for me. Do we want to talk about the celebrity deaths that we've experienced this last week?
Yeah, kind of ramped up a little bit.
I would like to start by talking about the legendary entertainer, Dame Barbara Windsor. You laughed earlier when I said that I want to talk about her.
I didn't laugh. I just don't understand why you're talking about it. Like, I mean, obviously it's very sad that an old lady dies, but
because she's what a contribution she's made to British culture.
Yeah.
You remember working classes? So. Come on. It's the sort of thing that people look down their nose at, but I mean, an incredible career, amazing career. And a proper national treasure as well. I think it's really sad. I know she was ill. And I know she's had some issues relating to dementia for some time. But, I mean, she's a proper, like... At one point, you know, you've got to remember, I think... I can't remember the exact years, but when she was in that, what I would consider to be the golden era of EastEnders, she's a proper, like, matriarch of the nation, mate. You know, great, great, great stuff. Just to go around just slapping people in the face, it's brilliant.
That was not her character, though, was it? It wasn't like that was what she did, just went around slapping people in the face as the boss of the Queen.
she was Phil and Grant's mum.
Yes, of course.
Mitchell.
Yeah, yeah. But she only got like introduced. But the thing with these things, they'll introduce these kind of like beloved actors and Shane Ritchie, and they'd put them in and they'd put them in like sort of late doors and go, oh, this person's been in the canon, in the universe of EastEnders, they've been on the periphery for such a long time, you've just never seen them. And I just think Grant and his brother should mention that Dame Barbara Windsor was their mum. But they should have said it beforehand, that's all. And then wait until someone's career is at a point where they can do EastEnders. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know why. It's beyond belief these days, given that what we've seen with Marvel and stuff. I have no idea why all the soap operas aren't crossing streams. Well, they're not doing the cinematic universe. I mean, it'll be fucking amazing. As far as I'm led to believe, the viewing figures for soaps like Coronation Street and EastEnders and stuff aren't as good as they used to be. They're not. It's not appointment right. viewing anymore. You need to innovate. Get them crossing over. Get the landlords to switch over between the Rovers Return and the Queen Vic, and we're in business.
Didn't they do a lot of that with Home and Away and Neighbours back in the day?
They?
Or they may have just shared a lot of actors, but I don't think they retained. I think it'd be nice to shared actors and then retained the characters, like had a bit of a buyout.
Yeah, no, I think they changed actors, but they didn't swap over in terms of storylines. They bloody should have done. That'd have been brilliant. I mean, I say brilliant, it would have been fine.
Well, obviously, I watch a lot of WCW and WWE. Like, same actors, different characters every time.
Yeah, there was a lot of Hulk Hogan chat on the Twitter this week about...
I can't
remember why. I'll tell you why, because someone started talking about the George Foreman grill. And then someone put out that apocryphal tale. I mean, I don't know if it might be real. I'm not sure. That kind of popular myth that Hulk Hogan turned down the George Foreman grill. It was going to be the Hulk Hogan grill.
Right. Didn't Hulk Hogan have the Gold's Gym? Was it Hulk Hogan?
He had a mojito maker, which didn't do anything. I looked it up earlier.
Hulk Hogan's mojito maker. Is he generally a big mojito guy?
I don't know, really. He's a big racist.
A bit foreign muck for him, I'd say.
He's a big racist.
Very
guy.
Strong opinions. Yeah.
What? Presumably George Foreman, who's got, I think, 7 kids all called George.
Yeah, nice.
He
like
must have made a lot of money off the grill, presumably.
Yeah, I can't remember why he came into XFM, but Mark met him, and he's got a photograph with him. His hands, George Foreman's hands, are ridiculous. Each one is like bigger than an actual George Foreman grill. It's incredible.
So have you seen the documentary movie When We Were Kings?
No.
So it's about the, for those who haven't seen it, it's about the legendary fight between Ali and Foreman, the Rumble in the Jungle in Africa in the 70s. What year was it been? I'm going to guess here. 74, maybe? Anyway. There is a scene in it where George Foreman emerges from a private plane when he arrives there to for the fight. And he's got two, I'm going to say, I think they might be like exotic cats on leashes right. as he leaves the plane. And they've got a massive fur coat on. And I think it might be the coolest anyone has ever been. it's just such an amazing scene. He just looks like the biggest badass ever. And for that reason alone, you've got to watch that. I mean, you should watch it anyway because it's fucking unbelievable. But it's just incredible what. So, I mean, he was an amazing athlete in his peak, obviously, and competed in one of the most iconic sporting moments in history. And he's done a grill. I mean, great stuff. He also
great
fought
foresight.
He was about 60.
How do you feel about the Logan Paul versus
Money May?
Who's he going to be fighting? Yeah, Money May. How do you feel about that? That nonsense.
I watched Anthony Joshua at the weekend. He fought Kubrat Pulev, knocked him out. Good fight actually. And Money Mayweather turned up.
Right,
he was there, and they interviewed him quickly. I mean, the way I feel about it is that Floyd Mayweather is no longer really a professional boxer. He's just doing exhibition bouts and stuff. So, I mean, he went over to Japan and fought some kind of Japanese martial artist, didn't he? And he also fought Conor McGregor, who isn't a boxer. So, I mean, it's not really one for the boxing scene, I don't think. I think it's one for... I'm not that I am a boxing expert. I'm a bit of an enthusiast, but that's it. I mean, it's not... Would I watch it? I mean, I'd like to watch it if I thought for one second that Floyd Mayweather would actually do what he's capable of. But if he did that, he'd fucking bang him out in like 5 seconds. So when he fought Conor McGregor, I just thought it was ridiculous. I think it went to about 10 rounds. But he's a showman, right? He's an entertainer, so he knows he's got to kind of draw it out. I mean, him fighting Logan Paul, I don't know what weight Logan Paul is either. But is it Logan Paul or Jake Paul?
Logan Paul, I think he's the older one.
I imagine Logan Paul's probably quite a bit bigger. So I mean, it'll be a bit of a freak show, really. I don't think it shows boxing in a great light. The same way I don't think that Mike Tyson fighting Roy Jones Jr. show boxing in a great light. But you know, it is what it is.
What are you going to do? I watched. I've been watching over the weekend because Wrestle Me, a fine wrestling podcast, are doing a bit about doing our Christmas shows, and so I was watching the WWE production. Tough Enough. No, not Tough Enough. Brawl for All, it's called.
Did you just name it your own name, Tough Enough?
No, I think Tough Enough is different. I think Tough Enough might be a different WWE project. There's so many silly names for things in wrestling, and I can't keep up. But Brawl for All was in 1998, and it was a shoot fighting tournament. It was basically the WWE's answer to like UFC, which was obviously rising in popularity in the late 90s. And It was created by the writer Vince Russo for the WWF, and they basically had a guy called Dr. Death Steve Williams. He was the he was like an up and coming wrestler, and the WWF wanted to make him a star, so they created this entire competition, like an actual boxing slash UFC style competition. With the proviso that this guy would win it and then become a big star because he was a legitimate tough guy. So it was real boxing, real kind of fighting. You could take people down and stuff. You had to wear these big, stupid boxing gloves. So it didn't really sort of, it wasn't really conducive to grabbing people and taking them down. So what happened was, When they brought this kind of guy who they thought was going to win it because he was a legitimate decent boxer, he wasn't very good. he got banged out by a very unlovable and unfashionable wrestler, Bart Gunn, which is very funny. He was a member of a couple of tag teams back in the day, but he was very unloved and he was a bit like he wasn't really fashionable, but because he was legitimately quite tough, he beat the shit out of everyone and fucked up the entire thing. So as soon as they started trying to make wrestling real, he absolutely destroyed everyone.
Not in the spirit, is it, Pete? We should you and I should do that. We should have a we should establish the rules and have a boxing slash wrestling slash tussling match, you and I. And it could very much be in many ways the apex of the Luke and Pete show.
Luke and Pete's colossal tussle.
The natural end game of the Luke and Pete show.
And then we take it to the WrestleMania, and then I get knocked out by Butterbean, which is what happened in that competition. he destroyed him.
And we have to take a break, by the way, so we should nick off for one. But before we do that, we'll give this to people to think about. Do you remember when Johnny Knoxville fought Butterbean in a sports shop for a jacket?
Yes,
I've never seen anyone look so terrified. He was more terrified of Butterbean than he was when he fought that bear. Which is quite understandable. Butterbean's an absolute beast. Anyway, let's take a quick break, Pete. When we come back, we'll do some emails, yeah?
All right, then.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This week on Stakhanov.
Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy releases a brand new episode exploring the hot topic of head injuries in football. As well as exploring the sport's link with dementia with neuropathologist Dr. Willie Stewart, Melissa spoke to ex-Tottenham star Ryan Mason, who was forced to retire after a devastating head injury aged 26.
I couldn't look at light. I was sleeping for like 20 hours a day. I couldn't really hold a conversation. Like I say, when the brain gets an injury, the body almost just instinctively responds and it almost just shuts everything else down.
Meanwhile, self-care club Wellness Road Tested have launched a brand new epilogue show. Join Lauren and Nicole every Friday where they'll be hearing about your experiences, talking to the experts and reading the very best wellness literature in the self-care book club.
I think it's a totally life-changing book for sisterhood and womankind. It's revolutionary in how to adopt self-love and live for who you are.
Search Between the Lines and Self-Care Club on your favourite podcast player.
All that and more at Stakhanov.
And we're back for a specially truncated Monday email section on the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson, joined by Luke Moore. If you would like to get in touch with the show, it's real simple. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com. I'll level with you, Luke. We haven't had as many emails in this week as we have in the past.
I found a few. Yeah,
I know you found a few. I found a few too, but I'm just saying.
All right, fair enough.
You've got people anything need to say, up their game, get in touch.
People need to up their game. I know they're building up for Christmas.
People who've written to us before and didn't have their emails read out, maybe just give it another go.
Yeah, re-up it. Yeah, maybe our standards need to go lower.
Yeah.
So next time around, we might actually read it. I want to start with this one from Eric, who says, hi, lads. As many of your listeners have been doing, I'm working my way through the old episodes. I'm listening to an episode from July. And a fellow listener mentioned all crisps, or as they're called in North America, chips, have an expiry date on a Saturday. I checked my cupboard and found a bag of Cheetos. The best before date is February 23rd. In 2021, February 23rd is a Tuesday. Full disclosure, I did buy them from a sketchy convenience store near my apartment. But even if they were very old, in 2020, February 23rd was a Sunday. I also checked some tortilla chips and their best before date is March the 3rd, which is a Wednesday. I just thought your listeners might be interested to avoid getting shown to be fools whenever people get together at parties with chips and they use that piece of trivia. Thank you, Eric from Ottawa. The plot has thickened there. Absolutely thickened.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that, like...
It might just be the brand walkers, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
and also, I mean, this is north of the border, though, you know. The Ottawa... Once you get over
America's
the Ottawa
hat.
River... Once you get over, you know, once you head towards southern Ontario, you're in trouble, I would say, when it comes to rules and regulations, rules and regs.
Yeah, true. It's the Wild West. What was your impression of Canada when we went there, Peter?
I very much enjoyed it. I wanted to stay there, but we had to move on to Chicago. Did we end in Chicago? We did, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah. It was cold, wasn't
disappointing.
It?
Disappointing. It was lovely and cold. It was indeed, yes.
We had some poutine, didn't we?
We did have some poutine. Is that the cheese curds?
Yeah. No, it's like chips, gravy, cheese, and that other stuff. Yeah.
Oh right. What are the cheese curds? Is that place or is that Chicago?
No, that's what. That's when you went to Minnesota. That's when you went to Minnesota.
No, I
didn't go to Minnesota.
No, I went not Minneapolis. I think. Yeah, Minneapolis. I went to.
That is in Minnesota.
Yeah, but like, I went north from Chicago, didn't I?
Yeah.
For half an hour. I think that's where I ended up anyway.
That's a different town. That's what I'm saying. It's
I know, but the cheese
country.
Curds. But the cheese curds, they were given at the big lit. I know, I had cheese curds at the airport. I had cheese curds at Chicago Airport, I'm fairly certain.
Can I just say, I was having a conversation with my wife earlier this weekend, and we were talking
Magic's
about...
Magic's still there.
Yeah, exactly. We had a conversation. No, and we were talking about Mexican food, right? And obviously, Mimi's expectation of Mexican food is far higher because in America, the standard is much higher, as you'd expect, because there's a lot more Mexican people there. Anyway, I maintain, she didn't agree with this, but I maintain the best tacos I've ever had were actually in Atlanta Airport. have you been to Atlanta, right?
Yeah, imagine if, yeah, but can you imagine you saying that to anybody who is a bit of a foodie in America? They would probably cleave your hand off.
I'm going to speak to Alexis and Christian from the Cooligans podcast.
Pizza Pervert.
Yeah, who both know loads about food and about obviously Latino culture, and I'm going to ask them if it's well known that Atlanta Airport has good tacos. I suspect the answer's probably no, but I'm going to check anyway. Well,
I guess it's a big hub and it's got to kind of satisfy the needs of loads of people, but I don't remember Atlanta Airport being particularly good at one thing or t'other.
No, I just think
that... Security were nicer than New York and all that much.
Yeah, but I just think that... Yeah, but they all are. JFK's a dump for that. I just think that like that kind of food, it's best done really cheaply and really quickly, right? You don't want to overcomplicate that stuff. There's a place in New York City... I think it might be called Number One Tacos or something. It's opposite the whatever the theatre that Harry Potter's playing in. I can't remember the name of it, but there's a taco place opposite that, which is absolutely fucking brilliant. But then a lot of people will say, you're not going to get good Mexican food in New York. It's too far away from Mexico. You've got to get down to Southwest, down to California and all that place, those kind of places. So look, who knows?
When we were in Chicago, and we before the show in Chicago, me, cameraman Sam, and a couple of others just walked down the street, and we just passed it. I was just hungry, and I think Marcus and a couple of others were kind of following, and I just went... I just saw this Mexican place. I went, I'm going in here. And it was really nice, really decent food, like just dirt cheap as well. Sam had a lovely time and he was taking loads of pictures and stuff. And he sort of went, Pete, I bet you do this sort of thing all the time. And I went, yeah, if I'm hungry, I'll just walk in a place. I don't need to look at the Expedia review or the bloody, you know, the Foursquare review of what people are. Just fucking get the food in your mouth and then leave.
Another bit of evidence for my theory. Doesn't think about it at all.
Oh, but if I'm buying a laptop. Oh,
you're there for fucking 6 months.
I watch, right, because I'm a YouTube addict. I have got a video game, Cyberpunk 2077, which is just come
about.
Out.
The bloke with the penis is
talking about. It's what, the bloke with the penis is popping out. One of the more welcome bugs in the video game. You just knobs just flopping out your clothes, flopping out your jeans. I have got it. It's on my computer. I've had a little bit of trouble with bugs and stuff with it crashes, but I've got it working now. And yet, the idea of starting a video game and playing it is so alien to my sort of modern life, kind of like that. I just can't find the time emotionally to sit down and play it. I keep watching videos about it rather than actually sit down and play it myself. It's embarrassing. I'll just watch loads of videos going, oh, the graphics on this are so good. Yeah, Pete, you can fucking play it. It's on the same computer you're watching this video, you bell. Idiot.
Yeah. Has anyone got any copper?
What?
No Man's Sky, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah. Jesus Christ. Right, let's go. Confusing reference.
Yeah, it's a great back reference, that.
Very, very
confusing. I get tweets about that probably
reference.
Once a week. Oh, you're still looking for copper, you noob.
All right, then, let's get out of here. If you would like to get to the show, and we do want you to, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is the way to do it. We'll be back on Thursday with more of this fraff, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, and what I would say is this is now the right time to start emailing in with your Christmas traditions, your Christmas stories, all that kind of stuff, because next week we'll probably do an extra ep about Christmas, and you want to be involved in it, you want to be included, it's hello@lukeandpeteshow.com, and we will sift through our favourites and bring your Christmas tales to life on this show to an audience of literally 42. So that's the scale we're on at now. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. Get involved, and we'll see you in the meantime. We'll see you on Thursday.
Meaning of life. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.